Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Just Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. That is the station. Phil Williams, I am the host, Right Side Radio. This is the show where we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Folks, I'm glad you're back. Hey, listen, I'm going to do a little more justice to that story that I was just kind of touching on right when I ran out of time. It's kind of like, you know, the music begins playing in the background. It's like the pastor who realizes his sermon went too long. The organist starts playing. Hey, listen, so Sacramento School District is confirming they still have 24 students who were stranded in Afghanistan. And that to me is an amazing story. Now, I don't know the backstory. What I'm never hearing, I've read stories on this. I've checked into it a couple of times. I cannot find anybody to sort of outline the backstory of why in God's name were they there? I mean, who thought this was a great idea? Who takes their children to a war zone for a school trip? Now, maybe there's a little clue mixed in the story here, because it does say they're from Sacramento, and that Sacramento actually has one of the largest Afghan expatriate communities in the nation. So perhaps maybe they were dual citizenship or people whose heritage was in Afghanistan, and it was a part of, you know, learning about their own cultural history. I get it. But even still, now was the time for this trip? Now? Well, they're stuck. There's 24 students. And if you remember, the president has said constantly, we got out those who wanted to get out. No, I don't think so, sir. No, you left Americans. You left Americans. And in this case, you left Americans that we were knowingly working trying to get out, who were struggling to find ways to get to the airport. And so the Sacramento Bee is talking about right now, there are students who are still trapped. 24 confirmed, according to the San Juan Unified School District, said 24 students, which is down from the original estimate of 150, and that's improvement. But where are they? And why didn't we get them out? Why was that not, by the way, why was that not a special operations mission? If you remember, when we invaded Grenada, in part it was because of the way U.S. Citizens were being treated and held and denied the opportunity for exit. I'm just telling you, this is a debacle, and it is unfolding more and more by the day. Just a moment ago, I saw that Jen Psaki was actually questioned on that phone call with President Ghani that I told you about earlier. And I didn't get to see her answer because I came back on the air. But they're still talking about it right now on Fox, is the fact that there was this conversation that was happening weeks before the downfall of Afghanistan, the capitulation to the Afghans, the Taliban, I mean. And yet, weeks earlier, we had the president of the United States and the then president of Afghanistan talking about how badly it was going on the phone. And the president of Afghanistan asking for more close air support and pay for his troops so he could keep them in the fight. And it was denied. I'm just telling you. It's coming apart at the seams, folks. Coming apart at the seams. Well, the last thing I think I'm going to cover for now, unless we have breaking news, is this. Don't think for a minute that your own U.S. delegation is silent, all right? I know you're seeing things like, you know, Representative Dan Crenshaw from Texas, or Representative, I think it's Green from, where is he from? Tennessee, I believe. We've got some great veterans who are out there, and others who are on the House Armed Services Committee, and people like Lindsey Graham, very outspoken. But your own delegation has been saying some things, definitely. Tommy Tuberville has been very vocal. And by the way, Tommy Tuberville's office has been very helpful to me as we tried to get Hamid's family out, which, by the way, they're still there. They're still stuck. Mike Rogers, Congressman Mike Rogers from Alabama, just came out yesterday with a pretty hard criticism of President Biden, saying, he's the ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee, makes him one of the top Republican voices on military matters, if you're not familiar, in Congress. And he specifically pointed out the fact that we left hundreds of Americans there. And he says, quote, "One American left behind is one too many. And the fact is, President Biden abandoned Americans in Afghanistan." He went on to say, "We left them at the mercy of the Taliban and ISIS-K. And the president made a promise to the American people he would stay until every American was out. but his words were hollow. All right. That is one of your congressmen, Congressman Mike Rogers from Alabama, who is the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee. And by the way, let me say this. I hope you got a chance to hear my monologue earlier. If you didn't, I encourage you to get it, because while right now I'm talking about the serious business of war and policy and politics, my opening in this entire show today was on exceptionalism and the fact that we literally have the greatest nation on the face of the earth, but we live in what I believe is the greatest state in that greatest nation. I love it here. And I talked all about Alabama exceptionalism. And I don't mind ever having a discussion about American exceptionalism. But whereas Congressman Mike Rogers is the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee, I heard another, and I was driving, so I couldn't get the name of who I was listening to, but he was a Democrat member of the House Armed Services Committee. I'm going to find it. I'm going to go back and find it. He was being interviewed with Brett Baer on Fox. And I was driving down the road listening to it, and this guy had the audacity, a congressman, a sitting member on the House Armed Services Committee, to say, well, one of the problems we've had is we spent too much time over the years leaning on the idea of American exceptionalism, and I think we need to get away from that because that kind of thing gets us in trouble. What? How about this? I have never seen a football team take the field with the intent to lose the game. You don't go in saying, we're number two, we're number two. You don't do that. If you don't love where you are and want to serve it, why are you there? And sir, if you are on the House Armed Services Committee, meaning that you are the congressional body that deals with all aspects of military life, and you do not think that we're exceptional or that our military is capable, then you need another job. And that's just, I don't think I'm alone in that, by the way. I'm pretty sure this audience is probably leaning forward in their chairs right now, yelling things at the radio. I'm just telling you. Well, folks, there's a lot of other stuff in the news. So I'm going to take a break from Afghanistan. I did have another clip, but Copper will just wave off on that clip for right now. I'll go ahead and move on past it. We got to get into some things that are happening, you know, around the state and other things around the nation, because stuff's happening. I mean, like, stuff's happening. Like, did you know that Black Lives Matter? Black Lives Matter is intent upon unionizing the plant, the Amazon plant in Bessemer. Did you know that? Well, they are. So, thanks to Dale Jackson for putting together his seven things. And when I was reviewing it, I thought, I'm going to print the whole thing out because every bit of that's useful. Black Lives Matter has joined the calls for a redo of the Amazon union vote. You may remember I had a friend on who's an HR specialist who deals with unions as a part of his every day. That's one of his specialties. He came on the show, Mike Perkins. He came on the show. His company is Frontline Solutions. And we talked about the Amazon vote because Amazon spanked the union effort, spanked it. And I'm not a huge Amazon policy fan. I mean, I order stuff from Amazon, but I don't sit around liking all the things they say they stand for and the way they act. But nonetheless, I loved the fact that they came down to Bessemer, set up shop. Liberal interests immediately began to try to unionize them, had an awful, awful promotional event trying to, you know, who did they bring in? I'm trying to remember who they brought in to speak, and it was just like, really? Jesse Jackson? Or anyway, but nonetheless, the unionization effort, oh, they brought in Bernie Sanders. That's who it was. They brought in Bernie Sanders to Alabama, of all places, to speak on the unionization effort, and it failed. It failed big. Well, now the union's calling for it to be redone. They've appealed the whole thing. I know, Copper. Hang in there. Just hang in. It's killing you. I know it is. But nonetheless, Black Lives Matter has joined the call for a redo of the Amazon union vote. It says there have been a lot of out-of-state activists pushing for the vote on the unionization, and now Black Lives Matter has joined. BLM has added that Amazon's intimidation and manipulation won't win. Do they know who they are? Does BLM look in the mirror? Intimidation and manipulation is all they do. That's who they are. Isn't that crazy? Is this, I mean, the pot calling the kettle for the love. This is literally I mean, BLM adds that Amazon's intimidation and manipulation won't win. The fight for unionization is far from over. Whatever. Okay. You know what? If they take that vote, I hope they lose by an even larger margin this time. Something else you might want to know. Here's a couple things that have happened around the news. So one thing that's kind of weird, Governor Ivey, one of her legal staff, was recently arrested on child solicitation charges. I don't know if you knew that, Copper, but that's a weird deal. Ooh. So, yeah, he was new. Attorney Chase Tristian Espy, he's 36 years old. He was charged with child solicitation by computer electronic solicitation. But basically what happens is that he probably, I don't know for a fact, but I assume he was in some kind of a chat room thinking that he was talking to a child and trying to, you know, connect with them. And that's a Class B felony. His name is Espy. I don't know for a fact if he's related to Joe Espy, the famous lawyer here in Alabama. But nonetheless, this guy was on Governor Ivey's legal staff, and he is no longer there. He is gone. Well, good. That's doesn't need to be on that staff. Something else, though, that's happening that is a bit unusual. So we have a state representative, Will Dismukes, and he's young. He's brash. He's a Republican, and he often lacks wisdom. But he is pleaded not guilty to a plea of charges of theft of property at more than $2,500. Basically, he was accused by a former employer, of taking things from the job site while he was still employed there in order to take it and go start his own business with it. And so anyway, Dismukes got in trouble last year when he went to a Sons of Confederacy. That's what it was. It was a Sons of Confederacy meeting, and he stood in front of the Confederate flag and talked about what a great day it was. And that didn't go over very well. That was right in the height of the BLM movement last year. And he's had trouble ever since. So, yeah, there's that. Here's something that's very neat, though. Talking about things around your state. Well, I tell you what, Copper, let's go ahead and take a break. Let's go ahead and take that short break. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you, we've got a World War II sailor, who was finally identified at Pearl Harbor. Finally. And has been brought home to be buried. I'll tell you where that is because it's here in the listening area. All right, folks, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, covering down on news that might interest you all over the state of Alabama and beyond. We got plenty more where that came from. We'll be right back after this. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Right before the break, I told you that we just had a hero brought home, a hero, an Alabama hero. So listen, Pearl Harbor is, you know, it's a footnote in history, a huge footnote in history, but it's got memorial and it's got meaning still to many who live today. And just yesterday, a story came out, I take it back, came out 2 days ago, reported in the Gadsden Times, a story by Donna Thornton, a World War II sailor comes home to Alabama almost 80 years after his death at Pearl Harbor. And it says literally that while we were learning about military personnel killed in last Thursday's suicide bombing at the Kabul airport, that a family in Boaz here in northeast Alabama laid to rest a young sailor who was killed almost 80 years ago in the attack on Pearl Harbor. Navy fireman second class Ralph Curtis Battles was 25 years old. He was on board the USS Oklahoma on December 7th, 1941. And for decades, he's been buried as an unknown in the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific. But they were able to do DNA testing with advanced techniques that didn't exist until most recently. And they were able to determine his identity. And as such, he was brought home and buried with honors and family attendance. And it did provide some closure for the family. And there was no one there who attended the cemetery or the funeral who knew him personally because they've all died off at this point. But nonetheless, the family was honored to be able to honor him. And they They just talk about the fact that even the Department of Defense, POW/MIA accounting agency, by the way, that's, I know a guy that worked there, and he said it was the best job he ever had. That literally the Department of Defense has an organization called the POW/MIA accounting agency. It's staffed with both green suiters and civilians, and their whole mission in life is to find those who've been left behind and to bring them home in one capacity or another. Even if all they find are just, you know, a handful of remains and they can identify it, they will identify it, tag that person as having been found and brought home, and make sure the family or the next of kin has an opportunity for honor. And that is it. I read this because here it is. It's in our district, right? It's literally in our district. There was a I know where this funeral home is up in Boaz. The Navy Honor Guard was there. The Patriot Guard riders provided an escort. The Sons of the American Revolution provided a color guard. They did the Pledge of Allegiance at the graveside. Also worthwhile, so worthwhile. And yet what I'm seeing here is people, we're right now in a position, let me transfer it to modern, to where we are in our current situation with Afghanistan. We just left people behind. We are an organization, we are a nation, I'm sorry, that has an organization whose sole function is to find the scantest level of remains of anyone who's ever been left behind, even going back, in this case, 80 years, and working to identify them. I mean, the guy who I knew who worked there said that he actually made trips to Vietnam, checking out crash sites and bringing back remains. And I'm telling you, that's who we are as a people. That's who the family who never met him before, but who still carry his name, honored him with military honors. That's who we are as a nation. And yet, we're sitting here right now with the current commander-in-chief knowingly leaving Americans, to include, I gave you the story a few minutes ago, high school students, 24 American high school students still sitting in Afghanistan. I guarantee you they want out. I've got them on my phone. I've got the passports, the pictures of them, for a young American mother with dual citizenship, but so what? She's a U.S. citizen, and her four children, all of whom were born in the U.S., stuck over there. And we just left them all behind. How can we be the nation that still has the deputy commander of the Taliban on the Department of State's most wanted list with a $5 million bounty on his head? And now we're negotiating with him while we also still have a reward. Well, we know where he is. Can we still get the reward? Got $5 million. Get me and a few dudes and we'll go take him. I'm just telling you. But no, we're going to negotiate with him now because the Taliban are the good guys. Well, listen, folks, this is, you know, not on my watch, by God, not on my watch. We're not going to forget this. But the article I just read you, God bless Navy Fireman Second Class Ralph Curtis Battles, 25, USS Oklahoma, Pearl Harbor, 1941. He's home. He's home. That's who we are. That's who we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.